Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hi there, it's Laura Wasser, and if anyone knows how much divorce sucks, it's me. I've been practicing family law for over 20 years, and I've worked on thousands of divorces. Creating peace in families is how I lost my voice. From the top of the food chain all the way down to my very first case, which was my own divorce when I was 25. I wrote the book on divorce, or I wrote a book on divorce. It's called It Doesn't Have to Be That Way, How to Divorce Without Destroying Your Family or Bankrupting Yourself. That book became a bestseller because it presented another option for ending a marriage, one that doesn't necessarily include lawyers, and one that leaves more money in both parties' bank accounts and less animosity in their hearts. We created It's Over Easy, the one-stop breakup divorce resource online with the same principles in mind. So welcome to the Divorce Sucks podcast, where we talk about breaking up, getting divorced, and moving on. Today's episode of Divorce Sucks is part two in our series about luxury, rising from the ashes of a blown-up relationship, and The Index, which is the curated online community inside the It's Over Easy universe, where you can find professionals and services from where to consign your engagement ring to new workout options and realtors who specialize in selling marital properties. I'm Laura Wasser, the family law attorney and CEO of the online divorce service It's Over Easy. And for those of you who follow us at It's Over Easy on Instagram, you may have seen the little video we shot in our highlights at our event this fall at The RealReal's brick-and-mortar flagship store in Los Angeles. Today, we're going to share sound with you from the conversation I moderated that evening with The RealReal's chief authenticator, Graham Wetzbarger, Karen Dilley, The RealReal's director of trust and estates, and professional organizer, Beth Penn, founder of the home and office and online organization service, Benito Bar, who is here with us this morning to recap the event and share tips to help you get organized and stay clutter-free before, during, and after a breakup. Welcome to Divorce Sucks, Beth.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm psyched that you're here, too, because I didn't get enough of you that night. I mean, we were talking a lot about The RealReal, and it was totally overwhelming, but one of the things that you specialize in is kind of decluttering, and I'm very cluttered. I mean, it's part of my whole being because my brain is cluttered and it just kind of emanates from there. So I've got kid pictures all over the walls, way too many emails and text messages in my inboxes, and way too much stuff in my closet. Your road to becoming an entrepreneur and professional organizer is not a straight line. So those of you who missed The RealReal event, tell us how you found your true calling and created such a very successful business out of keeping people organized.
Sure. It's funny. I actually was living in LA at the time, and I followed a guy to South Carolina. So not the best advice to follow a man or just proceed with caution. But anyhow, I was in my mid-20s and trying to figure out, okay, what am I doing with my life? I thought, okay, I love school. I'll go back to college. I graduated. I was thinking of going to grad school. So decided, okay, I don't want to go to grad school. Maybe I'll do hair. So I got a job in a salon. I had a cousin who was really great at hair, and I love doing my hair. So I was like, oh, for sure, I can just get a job in a salon, see how I like it. And it happened to be somewhat of a disorganized salon. So I did what I normally would do and organized it. I, you know, organized the back of the house. Clients started to take notice, and one of the clients came in and she asked me, Beth, have you ever heard of NAPO? And I was like, what is NAPO? And she goes, the National Association of Professional Organizers.
Oh my God, that's a thing?
Oh yeah, it's a thing. And this was back in 2006.
Okay.
And I had never heard of it. And I mean, my jaw dropped to the floor. I was like, what the heck are you talking about? This is, you know, I think internet was still dial up, but I still went home, researched it, found NAPO, and I was like, these are my people. Oh my God. I ended up breaking up with the guy and moving back to LA and joined.
Was there a NAPO chapter in South Carolina?
So I think there might have been a virtual chapter at the time,
right.
But there wasn't a physical one. And I knew I was probably moving back to LA. So this was sort of like the best thing to get me out of there,
right.
Sort of like lit a fire. I'm going to go start my own business. So moved back to L.A., joined NAPO and NAPO Los Angeles, because L.A., that's where NAPO started, was Los Angeles.
Most of the people here in Southern California are so organized.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, we really need help organizing. I guess that's why it works.
Exactly.
I can't believe this actually exists. Tell us about NAPO.
So NAPO is now known as the National Association of Productivity and Organizing. It used to be the National Association of Professional Organizers. So it's now... encompasses productivity, because that's what we help our clients achieve, productivity when we're organizing. And the mission for NAPO is to be the leading source for organizing and productivity professionals. And we do that by providing exceptional education, enhancing business connections, advancing industry research, and increasing public awareness.
Got it. Okay. So, and do you have to, how do you join this organization of organizers, the organized organizers?
So back when I joined, you filled out a form online, sent in money, and you were in. Now they have education that you have to go through in order to become an organizer, at least put it on your website that you're an organizer. So there is a more standard course that folks have to sort of go through.
Oh my God, I'd be so horrible at this.
No.
So if you were going to somebody's house or speaking with them on the phone or via email and kind of pitching why they need Bonito Bar, what would you say?
Well, you know, we save time and money. We save sanity. You know, you were talking about how I don't know if you're overwhelmed. You mentioned you have a lot of stuff.
I am overwhelmed.
Okay. So usually it goes hand in hand. You've got a lot of stuff. You're overwhelmed. And people are tired of being overwhelmed. There's like a lot of stuff going on in people's homes. So we come in and help you sort of assess your priorities. And when you look at your priorities and what you really want out of life, it makes it a lot easier to let go of the stuff that's sort of bringing you down. Because if you just pick up an item in your house today, you're like, I don't know. I mean, I like it, but I'm not sure. So what an organizer does is we come in and take a look at everything. So we're going to pull out everything.
So that's not just clothes. That's like you could do stuff in the kitchen. You can do stuff in the home office.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's not about the stuff, even though it is about the stuff. It's more about taking a look at everything at once, sort of knowing what the client wants to have happen in the space, and then coming up with a game plan. But the process looks the same whether you're going through your clothes or whether you're going through pens and pencils in the office.
And what do you do with the stuff that you get rid of?
So it depends. Sometimes it's just as easy as what's the closest donation place. Sometimes the client says, you know what, I really like to support this organization. Can you take it to this place? Sometimes we bring in people like the Real Real, because the client has a lot of high-end stuff. So we definitely want to try to recoup some of the costs. That's great incentive for people to get rid of stuff.
Right.
So the Real Real makes it really easy to do stuff like that. And then... sometimes, you know, Craigslist, giving it to a friend or a neighbor. It really just depends on what we're going through. You know, sometimes you can't give things away.
No. I mean, how much of it just gets trashed?
A lot of stuff gets trashed.
And how about, like, when you're in people's email inboxes and stuff? How much of the, like, I have often thought to myself, if I could just figure out, like, somewhere to put it all. I know I may need it at some point, but I don't need it all on my computer. Can we put it on like a little, we don't use disks anymore. Where can we put some of this stuff? Because my biggest fear is I'm going to throw something away that I really need. Did you see Mary Poppins Returns?
No.
Okay.
What did she get rid of that she needed?
She didn't. But the dad, who's the grown-up Michael Banks, had stock certificates that were given to him by his father. Now he's trying to save his house. It's this whole thing. And I'm not going to ruin the plot because it's really a cliffhanger on this one.
Okay.
But he can't. They go through this whole, you know, London house with an attic, and there's all this stuff, and they go through it all trying to find the stock certificate. Uh-huh. And I'm terrified that. In reality, I know that there's probably so few actual pieces of paper that we actually need anymore.
Right.
But I'm terrified that I'm going to throw something away, or delete an email, or give away something that I need. How often do clients call you and say, I can't believe that you made me like pare down like this. I need something back. Does that ever happen?
You know, once I think we got rid of a pair of golf clubs, they were able to track them down. And it wasn't like we came in and got rid of something that they didn't want to get rid of or that they didn't know about. It was after the fact she had decided, you know what, I really want that back. And so she tracked it down. But I cannot count a time when a client has called me upset. I needed that.
Right.
It's more of, oh, I was looking for something that I really needed and I could find it because I got rid of all the crap that was standing in the way.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
As you go through in your career, how do you see something like The Real Real as a useful tool for people that are going through transitions like divorce or downsizing or breaking up and moving, like when you move back here? How is The Real Real helpful for those guys?
So when you're going through a breakup, a divorce, it's such a time of transition. So you're going to be looking at your stuff because your priorities are going to change. So you need your stuff to sort of support where you're going through. So The Real Real makes it effortless. A box shows up, you put stuff in there, and you send it away. You know, they also take appointments and things like that. So The Real Real is a really great tool. And again, an incentive just for people to get rid of stuff because they're going to make money back.
I actually just got a check for $4,000.
No.
And that's like
way.
Not even all my stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I like.
Basically, someone came to your house, took stuff away, and then you got a check. That's
yes.
Amazing.
And I haven't missed any of the stuff. In fact, it didn't even really make a dent in my closet. Like, I was like, I gave so much shit away. Why is it still so crowded in here? I obviously have to do it again. But yeah, no, it's kind of like found money. It's awesome. I mean.
So are you, does that incentivize you to do it again?
Like, no.
Really?
It does. It does. And Romy, the woman who came out, was so amazing and wonderful. Now I actually need to have you come over and organize it because, like I said, it just still is really smooshed in there.
Right.
Tell us, what are some of the misconceptions that people have around clutter and organization? Do you get like, oh, but I'm creative and that's why I have it, like, or I know where everything is? Or
oh,
what?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
That's me, but I don't know where anything is.
You know, the challenge is when someone else needs to find something. So you don't live alone. You have children. You have people that probably work with you in your house. And so it's important for them to be able to function and them to be able to put things back. Oftentimes, I'm working with housekeepers and showing them, okay, this is where the new house is for this particular item, because if not everybody is on the same page, then it's going to go right back to square one.
But have you ever kind of cracked the evil housekeeper code of like how hiding things? Because I know that Irma, she knows where it goes, but she puts it somewhere else. And she, I know, I can see her like going, I'm going to f- with Laura today.
That's
for
hilarious.
Sure she is. She loves me, but I think she's like, likes to keep me on my toes.
Yeah.
So then I think like, where, not where would it be if I were Laura?
Mm-hmm.
Where would I be if I were Irma trying to mess with Laura?
So oftentimes a third party is helpful to have come in, like an organizer, to sort of show her maybe where we can put that stuff, even if it doesn't go into its home. Maybe there's a bin
right.
that it goes into, so that you can address those, you know, handful of items that would be lost otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say this, and this might be one of the misconceptions. You know, like that game where you turn over one card and then you turn it back over and you try to find the match.
Yeah.
That's like what my house is. Like, I will see something mm-hmm. that one of my kids like left his iPad or one sock. And then like 2 hours later, Luke will be like, well, if I could just find my other sock. And I go, oh, it's downstairs behind the thing under the iguana tank. And he's like, how do you know that? See, I mean, I do. I think it sharpens my skills. No, cop out, misconception.
I mean, it's nice.
Between that and my like Cato and Peter Sellers, you know, Irma relationship, I'm really sharp these days.
There's plenty of misconceptions when it comes to organizing, and that definitely being one of them. I think people think it's going to, you know, happen overnight. That's an organizing misconception. Another one is that it has to be perfect. So you're saying, you know, my house is a mess, et cetera. Your house can still sort of expand to fit your lifestyle. It doesn't have to look like a magazine. And to be honest, my house doesn't look like a magazine. But I know that a quick tidy at night, everything has a place to land.
Right. I want to come see your house. I mean, it doesn't have to look perfect like a magazine. I just want to see how, like, organized it really is.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, social media does quite a number on people. They think that it has to be perfect. I've worked with a lot of designers and, you know, we take pictures of one side of the room and it's perfection. And then you turn around and it's like
total chaos
blew up in there.
How often do you declutter, like personally? Like, you know, the coffee mug that you got at the 14th anniversary of your boyfriend's firm, da 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 da. How long is that staying there?
So it's sort of like a case-by-case basis, but I would say I declutter weekly. And that doesn't look like I'm tearing apart the entire house. That means I'm opening a drawer and I'm like, you know what? I have like 5 minutes. I'm just going to go through this and get rid of some stuff. So I think it's a constant sort of assessing what you own, because if you don't, you forget about it.
Right.
And it just builds up and it becomes crazy.
I have a coffee mug that says keep on trucking on it. Where did that even come from? Like, it is, it's like a mystery to me. It could be Irma.
I mean, do you enjoy the coffee mug?
No, in fact, but every time I see it, I'm like, where did that even come from? How did it even get there? I don't remember receiving a keep on trucking.
Right. It's kind of funny at this point. But I think that because, again, you haven't assessed like on a full scale. So if an organizer were to come over, we'd pull out all your coffee mugs.
Oh my God.
And go,
getting
okay,
a hive.
Which
just thinking
ones?
About that. Not that one. I mean, I don't, like I said, it's not like I'm in a, oh, if I get rid of this one, I won't have a mug. If there are, there's 30 mugs in there.
Yeah, you're going to be fine.
And again, a lot of the time in January when I have people come in, I say, like, what's your New Year's resolution? And they say, like, I want to lose weight. And then I see them in February and they're like, I lost 135 pounds. His name was Steve. Same with kind of, same with decluttering, which is you're kind of, I think it's a really good time to kind of reset. And so when you're decluttering, not only like the tearful wedding album and the champagne glasses and all that, but a bunch of stuff that you have in your life or in your living environment that is really unnecessary. Do you find that people find it, that it's cathartic for people as they're going through a divorce or breakup to kind of get rid of a lot of stuff?
Oh, absolutely. You know, these things weigh us down emotionally. So every time you look at them or discover them, it brings back these memories that maybe you really don't want to relive. But people keep them out of guilt. They think, oh, God, you know, this is part of my life and part of my story. So if you really feel the need to hang on to something, I say scan it or take a picture. You don't need the physical object to remind you. And then it can live in a file folder on your computer that you can look at,
oh,
you know, whenever
like
you want to dip into it. But you don't have to sort of come across it when you're trying to find a dress to wear.
And you said, like, it's a process. So how long does the – I mean, again, it's never perfect. But
right.
Over an evolution of time as you're getting rid of stuff, when you're working with a client, do you see them on a – and again, I'm sure it depends. But mm-hmm. Let's say first time in, come into somebody's house, how many times do you think you're actually going to be there to get through that first assignment, so to speak?
Right. Yeah, it depends on the space we're working with. It depends on how quickly the client can make decisions. It depends on the category of the belonging. But typically we start with 4 hours, which is manageable for folks. I find that when you're having to make decision after decision, you can only go for so long and then you're going to peter out. So I like to sort of anywhere from 4 to 6 hours we're going through a space, and we can get quite a good amount done. And based on what they want done, if it's the entire house versus just the kitchen, you know, anywhere from 2 to 10, 15 sessions, and then checking back, you know, every 3 months or so, sort of a reassessment. Your life is constantly changing. So, you know, you can set up some rules and boundaries, but just know that it probably will change and that's probably okay. So
is
a constant reassessment. You're not organized. So that's a misconception that once you're organized, you never have to do it again.
No, of course. You have to. It's like getting a haircut. You have to keep fine tuning it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. I was just thinking therapy. Like, you don't just become enlightened.
Right.
It's like an ongoing process.
Is it better to declutter and get organized before or after a move? You get rid of the stuff before you take it to the new place? Okay.
Definitely before. You don't want the extra overwhelm of unpacking boxes and then having to decide. And you may get rid of more once you move, but 100% going through stuff before you move. And I also think that when you're going through a breakup or a divorce, it's important to assess your belongings. Things are changing. So sort of knowing what you're going to need.
Right.
So I think it's important to assess, okay, how many coffee mugs do I really need? How many sets of towels? How many sheets? So it's not like, oh, this is how many I've always had, so I'm just going to keep this amount.
Right.
The boundaries could change. You may have less space. So it's nicer to know, okay, well, I really don't need that, so I'm not going to take it with me.
Divorce Sucks Today is about organizing and rebuilding your life after a breakup. And to help us understand the connection between the two, we're speaking with professional organizer Beth Penn, who is the founder of the organizing service and website Benito Bar and BenitoBar.com, B-N-E-A-T-O, bar.com. We both took part in a riveting panel that I, yours truly, Laura Wasser, moderated this fall at The RealReal's gorgeous brick-and-mortar consignment store in Los Angeles. Beth is also the author of The Little Book of Tidying. By the way, guess what? I have it. I found it. I was decluttering. was like, wait, I have this book. This is Beth's book. Somebody probably gave it to me.
Well, and all of my clients have like a whole shelf of organizing books. So lately, I've just been sending people the digital version.
I like having it because it reminds me how not tidy I am. You can buy it at bonitobar.com and on Amazon, The Little Book of Tidying. And again, it's little. So it's like it makes you feel like it's a little like bite-sized amount that you
totally
could actually do. In terms of separating one's possessions for people going through a divorce or a breakup with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, where do most people get hung up on the decluttering process?
I would say going through the memorabilia, feeling like they have to hang on to it, but feeling guilty about getting rid of it. It's very hard. I would say even if you're not going through a divorce, going through memorabilia is really hard. Typically, it's homework that I give clients just because it's something
you don't want to sit there and go through it with them while they're crying.
You know, it's a cathartic process. I know. Well, you know,
But it is. I think you're right. It's a cathartic process, and in order to say goodbye, and I love the idea that Beth said, which is just take a picture of it. You don't actually need the champagne flutes because you're probably not going to toast with the new boyfriend or girlfriend with them. So just take a picture. Now you've got them.
Right. And to be honest, how memorable are, you know, just the champagne flutes?
Right.
You probably have a lot of other memories associated with the wedding that are better than the champagne flutes. And I think it's also great to just create a boundary. So saying, okay, well, I want to keep a box worth of stuff to remind me of this relationship, and setting a boundary. So once you fill it up, then you either have to pull stuff out if you want to put more stuff in, or, you know, that's it. That's all you get to keep.
What are your thoughts on storage facilities? Is that just a big waste?
You know, when people are moving, and it's important to be able to have stuff sort of at the ready or is a sort of holding zone,
right,
but I don't really like having storage units, no, because it's just another place to store stuff that you're never going to use.
Right.
I mean, if you really don't use it in the house, you're not going to use
right.
it. It's you're
like not a stepping
go stone.
Visit it.
It's like house, garage, storage.
Right.
Yeah.
I find that drugs go well in those because then you can go visit them. So you're also an expert. Tell us a little bit about decluttering people's virtual lives, because this is fascinating to me. Like I said, I have way, way, way too many emails. I now have like 4 or 5 different email addresses, and there's just too much stuff. How do you do that when we are so concerned about losing or being able to go back and find something, especially in my profession? That's how we kind of keep a lot of our files now.
Right. I mean, with your email account, are you able to archive stuff?
Yes.
Okay. So
I don't know how, but I know I'm able.
What's your
Somebody's
email
able to do it.
Client provider. Is it Outlook or Gmail or
both?
Okay.
I have a Gmail at It's Ever Easy. I have an Outlook at Wasser, Cooperman and Mandel's.
Mm-hmm. So archive is your friend.
Yes.
Knowing how to search for things is important. So being really familiar.
I think Irma's in cahoots with the Outlook people, by the way, because I search for something and then it's like, I know I got the email and then it's disappeared, but
right.
she probably knows where it is.
Right.
Irma.
I mean, for the most part, you can find it again, whether you have to reach back out to someone and say, hey, can you resend that? It's very rare that you're never going to be able to find something
right.
again. So I would trust Archive.
Okay. And please share some ways that people can reduce inbox overwhelm.
So,
well, first tell us what inbox overwhelm is.
Inbox
is it just
overwhelm,
obvious?
I mean,
what
sure.
I have.
I mean, it's like a giant list of emails that you sort of scroll through and go, oh, God, what did I need to do with this? People star stuff. But, you know, what does that do other than tell you to go back and look at what you have to do? But that takes up time. I think a lot of people, or most people, use their inbox as a to-do list. And you can't prioritize an inbox.
Right.
And a subject line is a terrible indicator of what's stored inside. So, again, you're just, like, opening up emails and going, what do I need to do with this? So I like to promote people getting the emails out of the inbox and creating a to-do list, and you can prioritize that. Merlin Mann, he created the term inbox zero.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think that means not having any emails in the inbox. And that's not realistic because you're constantly getting
mm-hmm.
emails. But he said that an employee's brain is, and sort of working power is finite, and that when an employee spends all of their time in the inbox, that productivity suffers. So because you're constantly in your inbox and you're getting new emails, you're getting distracted, nothing ever gets done. No important work can get done. So what I like to promote is getting the emails out of the inbox, sort of interacting with the to-do list and not being distracted by emails. So I think that that's really important. Just shutting down email, like not going in there.
Right.
Maybe once, twice a day.
Oh, God. That seems
People can pick up the phone.
How about photos? How about photo? Like now I have all the photos of my kids for 14 years, you know, in the cloud or wherever. Mm-hmm. But what happens is when my son takes a picture of something on his iPad, it ends up in my phone and computer. And he takes a lot because he's like a creative little kid and he messes up or whatever. So I'll have like 40 pictures of a pen. Can I put those somewhere?
Sure. I mean, you can.
He's really creative. That's what I keep telling myself. That's why I have 40 pictures of a pen is because Jack's so creative.
That's awesome. I mean, for me, I store them in Google Photos. So what prompted this is we were going on our honeymoon and I didn't want to arrive in my phone to say, you don't have any room to take any more pictures. So I downloaded them all to Google Photos and then deleted all of my pictures off of my phone. But the beauty of that is Google Photos has an app. So they're available to me on my phone. They just don't have to live on my phone.
Oh, I like that.
And
Google
so,
Photos.
And so
guys.
I'm constantly sort of like every 3 months just going through, and that allows me or sort of gives me the opportunity to delete a lot of stuff that I don't need. So I think it's important to have a system. And then once you have that system, going through, deleting, and then you have a clear phone.
Okay, so you're married.
I'm married, yeah.
Is your husband organized?
He likes to hang on to stuff.
Uh-huh. How does that work in the relationship?
It's good because it allows us to practice talking to one another about having stuff. You know, he knows my deal. So he's good about tidying. What he's not good about is hanging on to clothes. He has a lot of shoes and clothes that he doesn't wear.
Right.
So he knows like every 6 months, once a year, I'm going to say, we've got to go through your stuff.
Right.
And
I have a coffee cup he might like.
Yeah, probably. you know, sometimes I put things away and see if he misses them.
And if he doesn't mention them after a certain period of time, they're gone?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No, maybe they go to the garage or just somewhere out of the house so that I don't have to look at them anymore.
This is like the wagon wheel coffee table from When Harry Met Sally. Do you have one of those?
We
did, but I moved it to the garage and he hasn't noticed yet.
You know, luckily I sort of have my way with decor and things like that. He also has a man cave. Like, he can do whatever he wants in there. I've made it his, like, little place where he can do whatever he wants
with
the decor.
You walk in and it's like hoarders in Beth's husband's man cave. Got all of his shit in there. I have, again, a really nice Keep On Trucking mug that he could put right in there on the desk.
Oh, he would probably love it. It's funny. I sort of am one of those people that clean before the housekeeper comes.
I'm not Irma.
So I was looking in the bathroom and I was like gathering the cleaning products that she needed, even though she's totally adept at doing this. And I found a box that Adam had saved of, it had like contained shampoo and conditioner, but it was like a sturdy, nice box. And he just like had saved it. He's like a keeper of boxes. So
right.
I definitely got rid of that.
Buy a box. Okay.
Yeah. Goodbye box.
We're talking about decluttering today, and our followers don't disappoint. On at It's Over Easy, at Quilty Therapy writes in from Instagram, Beth, will you share some behind-the-scenes info from the Real Real event on the podcast? And I did see you with a friend of yours, and you were looking at a purse. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, my friend wore a purse that night that a friend had gifted her, and her friend had told her it was an authentic purse, you know, one of the top three brands. I can't remember the brand, but anyhow, I tracked Graham down and I was like, Graham, you have to look at my friend's purse and tell her if it's real or not. And, you know, it took him a minute. He couldn't tell right away, but it ended up being fake.
Oh, God.
I know.
Was she just...
No, because, you know, she didn't buy it. It was like a friend was like, oh, I'm getting rid of stuff. Here you go. It's totally real.
Did she wonder whether or not the friend knew it wasn't real?
She definitely wondered. She was pretty sure that her friend thought it was real.
Right.
So interesting story.
Wherever you get your podcast, Divorce Sucks is the disruptive voice changing the way people talk about breakups. We're not promoting divorce, but it's happening. And we're changing the way people look at their dissolutions. Knowing our audience and what our show is about, is there anything you can share that we haven't asked you about, Beth?
I once had a really bad breakup. I mean, I've had my fair share, but I had one that prompted me
to run. This is not South Carolina?
No, this is LA.
Okay.
We had dated for about 6 months, and it was, you know, a decently bad breakup, and it prompted me to run a marathon. I was like,
oh my God.
This is something I've always wanted to do. I loaded the podcast, or the loaded the podcast. I loaded the, at the time, what are those?
An iPod.
iPod?
Yeah.
Is that what it was called? I loaded my iPod up with all these like great breakup songs.
The Nano. Remember the iPod Nano? Yeah.
Yeah.
Shuffle.
One of those things. And ran around the Silver Lake Reservoir more times than I can count.
Oh, God.
I know. But it was such a good, like, cathartic thing. Like, I got to do a lot of things.
I sat on the couch and watched Netflix and ate Chinese food after my last breakup. So I'm glad that was, sounds cathartic, too. Since you're answering spontaneously, we have a few questions for you that we call the divorce sucks interrogatories. Are you ready?
Yes.
So now I know that you're married to Adam.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Adam. What is your favorite breakup song?
I love the song by Adele, Someone Like You.
Yes, that's
a good one.
What would you say to cheer up a friend going through a breakup?
It's stuff that I never like to hear, but I feel like it's true, and it's time heals everything, and he wasn't the right one.
That's right.
Yeah.
What romantic comedy could you watch on repeat?
Moonstruck.
Ah, snap out of it. I love it.
So good.
Beth, thank you for visiting in the studio today to help us get organized after the Real Real event. Tell us how we can find you, Beth, your website and your social handles.
www.benitobar.com and at @benitobar for Instagram. Is there anything else?
I don't know. Just so you guys know, it's Benetto Bar.
Yes.
There's probably no such thing as a good divorce, but clinging to an old idea of how relationships are unraveled can make a bad thing even worse. And keeping old stuff from a lover who isn't just a good fit anymore... And keeping old stuff from a lover who just isn't a good fit anymore, right down to emails from 2014 that you're never going to read, hanging on can weigh you down. If you're able to navigate your own dissolution and you like saving money, It's Over Easy may be right for you and your soon-to-be ex. Find out more about uncontested divorces at itsovereasy.com. And if you're not a subscriber yet to the Divorce Sucks podcast, it's easy to join our conversation by tapping the subscribe button and telling all your friends. Rate us, let us know how we're doing and what we can improve. We're in our second season, but we're still new and we do value your opinion. You can also ask me anything at It's Over Easy on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or leave a comment on our Insights blog, and we'll discuss it here on the Divorce Sucks podcast, hosted by me, Laura Wasser. Beth Penn, thank you so much for joining us. Guys, check out Benitto Bar and declutter yourselves.
Thanks for having me.
Who else has tried FabFitFun? If you don't already know about it, it's a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, and lifestyle products. The winter box is fantastic. It retails for $49.99, but it always has a value of well over $200. The box has skincare from Glam Glow, Kate Somerville, Dr. Brandt, Anthropologie, and Juice Beauty. Fashion items from Vince Camuto, Bear Paw, Free People, Michael Stars, Trina Turk, and Millie. Beauty products from Tarte, Moroccan Oil, Beauty Blender, Oscar Blondie, and Zoya. That winter box is available now, but sign up fast because they sell out faster than you can imagine. You really won't want to miss this box. There were these amazing over-the-knee socks that I got and these cool Bear Paw gloves and some really, really good Kate Somerville moisturizer. This winter box is amazing. Check out www.fabfitfun.com and use the code DIVORCE at checkout to save another $10 off your first box, making it only $39.99. Again, that's fabfitfun.com. Use the code DIVORCE and get a value of over $200 for $39.99. Remember, ladies, you deserve to treat yourself.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Podcast One would like to congratulate Adam Carolla for being one of 2018's most downloaded podcasts.
You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win.
And Jordan Harbinger for being one of 2018's most downloaded new podcasts.
So it was like this small niche community of people that knew about podcasting. And that's what we started building from there.
Thank you for tuning in. And check out new episodes of The Adam Carolla Show and The Jordan Harbinger Podcast every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
We are so honored to be here tonight. How cool is The Real Real? Right? I hadn't been here before. Mary and Melissa and I went to the one on Worcester in New York, and we were like, oh my God, this is like our heaven.
And then Romy from The Real Real came to my house last week and took about 100 items out of my closet, which I have not missed at all and still can't even tell that there was a dent made. So I'm really looking forward to working with The Real Real. We launched the index today, and that is how The Real Real pertains to It's Over Easy, because people want kind of out with the old, in with the new. Let's get rid of some of this stuff. Let's get some new stuff. Let's start dating again. So new chapters, that kind of a thing. I am so honored to have on this fascinating panel today Graham Wetzbarger. He is an AJP and the chief authenticator for The Real Real. Graham has appraised and authenticated over 100,000 luxury goods throughout the past decade. His authentication expertise grew from his background in fashion design and art history. His thirst for knowledge has taken him around the world studying at some of the best institutions, including the GIA, Christie's, Fordham Law Schools, London College of Fashion, and NYU. Graham is frequently tapped for insight by publications like CBS, Bloomberg, Forbes, BuzzFeed, Elle, Refinery29, and The Robb Report. He spoke at South by Southwest, Fashion Law Institute, Women in Wealth, Fashion Group International, and London College of Fashion, and he currently resides up north in San Francisco, where he teaches style icons and fashion journalism at the Academy of Art University and chairs the Pratt Institute of Fine Arts Alumni Association. Graham, where are you? Come on up. I don't know if any of you have listened to the podcast this week, but we had Graham and Karen, who you'll meet in a second, on, and it is so cool what they do. So Karen Dilley is the Director of Trust and Estates here at The Real Real. She advises professional fiduciaries, lawyers, and wealth managers on the sale of estates, trusts, and single-owner collections. Karen started her career at Sotheby's in the valuations and estate management department, where she oversaw the appraisal of art and home decor for high-net-worth clients. At Sotheby's, she then proceeded to oversee the sale of the largest trust estates and single-owner collections. Karen is a graduate of the University of Florida and received her master's in business administration from Yale School of Management. Karen is a member of the San Francisco Estate Planning Council. Karen, where are you? Come on up. Let's hear it for her. She also told me that she was the first person to enter Brooke Astor's apartment after Brooke had been dead, Mrs. Astor, rather, had been dead for 4 years. She was the one. So she'll tell us a little about that. To round out our panel today is my friend Beth Penn. She's the owner of Benito Bar, a Los Angeles professional organizing company. And a couple of people here tonight said, I didn't know you knew Beth. She did my closet like 5 years ago. So I hope you saw them, Beth. She's also an author and speaker and life hacker. She wrote the book, The Little Book of Tidying, an inspirational decluttering companion. And she's appeared on the Today Show for her Naked Inbox service, which helps clients master their inbox and to-do list. Beth, where are you? Come on up. So I'm going to ask you all some questions, and then we'll open it up to everybody else. But I wanted to go first. Because I'm me. All right. So to all of you, and any of you shout out, I know we talked about this a little bit on the phone the other day. So, and my friend Christina Nicoletti's here tonight. She was like, I don't understand what this has to do with divorce. So we're going to explain it to you, okay? I didn't do the accent right, but she's Brazilian. Anyway. How do you guys see The Real Real as a useful tool for people going through transitions in life like divorce, downsizing, etc.?
Simply put, equity. You know, the value of your home, your investments, everything is important. Whether you're starting fresh or a new life, with any regard, knowing what you have and its worth is important. The Real Real is there to provide that service for you, so that you know what is intrinsically valuable and what maybe is just marketing fluff. Or perceived value, and maybe what you want to hold on to longer, what you want to purge, and whether something is short term or long term. Again, maybe like relationships, you don't always know that until someone points it out to you.
Right.
So, yeah.
And what advice do you give to people who are uncertain as to whether they should part with something or not? If you're going through an estate, if you're organizing a closet, if you're advising someone who comes into The Real Real, or if you're at their place, tell us.
With the one-off, like, should I keep this or sell this item? It really doesn't kind of like, do you love it and do you use it? you can love something and never use it, and you could use something you don't love, but that's not the best relationship. Surround your things by things you love and things that are utilitarian that you use regularly. Nothing is too precious. Nothing should sit on a shelf and never be used. Fashion is an art form, but it's not fine art. It's not meant to hang on the wall and, you know, gather dust. So if you're not using it, move on to something else.
Tell them the hanger trick that you told me.
Yeah. So I do this in my own closet, and maybe you have a thing like this too. You put everything in your hanger one way, so like that whole rack is facing right. When you wear something and you put it back after laundering, you put it left. After 90 days, whatever is still pointing right, get rid of. You haven't worn it. Sure, maybe, you know, put your coats in your coat closet for winter or things like that, seasonality, right? But with your dress shirts, your tops, your jeans.
This assumes you put stuff back. Just saying.
Yeah, I listened to the podcast that came out yesterday. It was amazing. I loved the hanger trick. It's something that I tell clients to do as well. And it's so fascinating. When people work with me, they get rid of quite a bit. But it's interesting. There's some things that they still want to hang on to, and they're just like, oh, I just don't feel confident enough to let go of that. And then 2 months later, I come back. We're working on something else. And they're like, you know what? Can we take a peek back in the closet? Now I have the confidence to really get rid of something. So sometimes, and I don't know if you guys find this as well, but sometimes time is a really good thing to give someone the confidence, because they're very now familiar with their clothes. If they weren't before, they have a pared-down collection. And so time is sometimes a really great tool as well.
And Karen, talk about the trust element.
I was going to say, you know, people come to us because we're very honest with them and transparent. I was just working on an estate where someone's wife had passed away, and she had an amazing Louis Vuitton collection, and the husband, every time I talked to him on the phone, would get choked up. So it's very emotional. She got a lot of joy out of building this collection. And similarly, we get an emotional attachment to things. And it's like, well, what do I keep? What do I sell? How do I know what I should really do here? And I said to him, I was like, call me back in a couple of weeks. Like, you don't have to do this right now. You know, we can work with you on this. So we actually just decided yesterday he's going to sell 8 of the bags now, and he's going to work through that and see how he feels about that. He was someone who put aside, you know, three bags for his granddaughter, 2 bags for one daughter, another 2 bags for another daughter. And it's wonderful because he's like, you know what? I trust you, Karen. I know that you're not just trying to get all my stuff. Though I do want his stuff. But the idea being that I'm willing to take it at the pace that he wants to go. And I think that's something unique about The Real Real. We hire people, and some of them are here today, who want to help you and want to be there for you. So it's that same idea, you know, wait a few weeks and we'll come back again. We'll come into your house, we'll sit down, we'll have another glass of champagne, and we'll chat about it again, whether or not you're ready to sell.
The Real Real, real big on champagne, by the way. So, you know, like I said to Mary tonight, I was like, should I bring some champagne? And then she took a picture of the big bucket. She's like, they got the champagne. But it is building that trust and feeling as though they will really tell you what something is worth. They will really tell you whether they think it's the right time for you to sell it. Not pushing, I think, is super important. And you develop a relationship, which very similarly, those of you from my firm or from my practice that are here tonight, if you push somebody getting divorced, they're not going to get divorced. If you say, like, we're here, let us know when you'd like to speak with us. And the same has gone for the sales that we've had for It's Over Easy. We're here. We're not going anywhere. You let us know when you're ready. And I think that's really, really an important, not to be too pushy in this day and age. That's a turnoff to people. Graham, what are some of the most difficult items you've had to authenticate? And tell us why and how you do it. I want to know all of your secrets right here, right now, tonight.
I don't think we have that much time. But I was like, the hardest thing to authenticate is a piece you've never seen before. But, right. You know, fashion is so quick these days. 5, 8, 10 collections a year. So there's always something new that you just haven't seen before. So you have to rely on some bit of a brand DNA, things that they always do, very, very, very consistent. And some brands are better with that than others. But the more you see something, the more you know how it should look versus what's wrong with it.
And the materials, too?
Sure, materials, construction, hardware components, and then brand identifiers are really like the 4 pillars that we're always evaluating, regardless of the category, whether it's a handbag or a dress or a piece of jewelry. Those really are the things that break down. So counterfeits really used to be like marquee brands, big logo-rific pieces, but now we're seeing counterfeits of emerging designers that 5 years ago would never have been counterfeited. Mary is wearing self-portrait. You know it's real because it's from The Real Real, but there's been a ton of counterfeit self-portrait lately, which is just wild. Roger Vivier pumps. You would never think. And, you know, so they counterfeit two things, everything and anything. So it really, you know, it takes just evaluating those four components of every piece to make that determination.
Beth, when you're going in helping somebody declutter, if you can tell that something is like schlocky, do you like say, let's move this, you don't need this anymore?
Sometimes if it's...
schlocky being a term of art, by the way.
Right. I mean, if I can tell, the client can probably tell. That's why I'm glad The Real Real is here. But, you know, sometimes the client, sometimes it's if something is irreparable, you know, that's going to be an easier decision. But as far as if something's real or fake, I was trying to play out there, and I was like, I'm not really sure. So that's
Did everybody
why.
See The Real or Faux game? You should definitely try your hand at it. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's really hard.
How about estate stuff?
Yeah, estate stuff is hard because usually the person who bought it or went to China and bought it is no longer there to tell us whether or not they think it's real. So it was a little bit different of a conversation. I will say that before I started this role, I wasn't like an authentication expert. I still have a tough time with the game. But what's nice is we actually, like, part of our whole culture here is authentication. It's not just Graham and his team that go through. They actually teach all of us too. So when Graham's saying, like, the biggest thing is just repetition, we play this game at our headquarters, and we actually can win site credit, which is a huge draw for every employee. Yeah. And so then Graham actually afterwards tells us what was real or fake and why, so that everyone who works in the company, and this is like from the people who work, you know, in our e-commerce centers to our executive team, can learn this basis of authentication, which has been amazing for me too.
And so you guys know, one of their biggest trades or things that they move are rings, like engagement rings, which I found fascinating. So not only do I have this fantasy where somebody comes in with their Birkin, but I also have the fantasy where somebody comes in with their ring, and you have to tell them, like, so sad, not real. How does that happen? I don't know why that makes me happy. But it shouldn't. But again, it's probably because I'm not the one having to tell them. But since you are...
Sick fantasy.
That's the hardest part of the job, is telling someone sorry. You know, it clearly, if the relationship hasn't lasted, there probably were some trust issues there. And this is just kind of the icing on the divorce cake. We have one of our gemologists right here, and they're awesome. You know, she's behind the jewelry counter or in the office across the way every day. And while she could probably tell from across the room whether that diamond is Diamante or not, or CZ, she'll sit there and she'll explain it to you and talk you through it, yeah. As opposed to some guy on 47th Street, if you're familiar with the jewelry district in New York, or a pawn shop or something like that, where they really don't have your interests at heart. They have their own. They're going to try to offer you as little as possible for them to accrue it and then sell it for as high, where you know, we make as much money based off how much money you make. So we're really valuing things at that fair market price, what the demand is. And, you know, the diamond's already a billion years old.
Right.
What's a couple more years, a couple more owners? You know.
Yeah, I will say the flip side to your sick fantasy there is sometimes, and I don't know, Beth, if you've had this, we find diamond rings, which is kind of an amazing treat. And so rather than, you know, being like, oh, you're consigning your jacket, do you want to consign that diamond ring in the jacket too? Especially in estates, I found a collection of diamond rings one time amongst a bunch of costume jewelry, which was so glad. I went piece by piece in the costume jewelry. I was like looking to see the designer for each one. And then I was like, ooh, this is a treasure. And like just treasure after treasure came out. So you probably have that.
Well, when we do take things to either donation or consign whatever, we always check pockets of everything because people hide stuff and they don't remember that they hid stuff. And
your
we definitely find a lot of stuff that way. And people always think movers steal stuff, and it's because everything gets hidden away. And, you know, it's really funny, but...
And I think you told me that people are on the app with the ring, with the diamonds, because they're somewhere and they're checking them out and comparing prices.
Oh, yeah. I think Graham was talking about that.
So engagement rings transact extremely high on our mobile app, and we're trying to think of like, oh, maybe they're at the bar with their buddies, and they're like, all right, I'm going to commit. And buy it. But like, that's more fun than like factual. But really, it's a really easy way to comparison shop. You know, you see it online, you're like, okay, I see the stats. So what does that really translate to in person? There's so much romance with a diamond and with jewelry. So they're going to the jeweler down the street, and they're asking, say, okay, let me see a 1.6 carat VS2F color, brilliant cut, and looking at it, saying, that's what she wants. And then, what's your price? Oh, click. So, you know, it's a great, the app is a great tool to, again, see what the worth is in your closet or things that you're looking to acquire with that fair market price.
Beth, do people hang on to emails and documents the same way we hang on to garments and items of clothing and accessories?
Yeah, 100%. And because it's digital, there's more of a hanging on to because it doesn't represent a physical sort of space. But I think it's worse, you know, just because you can't see it.
Remember in the Sex and the City movie where she had all of the emails that came from Big, like, in one folder? I want somebody to do that. Like, I wish I could just have folders for everything, and then if I was to break up, I could just delete the whole folder or whatever. I think
that
would be good.
You can do that. It's pretty amazing.
Beth, what's the average inbox size that you come across? Sorry, Laura, to ask the question.
I mean, upwards of 100,000. I mean, Gmail is like,
that's me, for sure. Yes. And now I have a new account for It's Over Easy, so I'm just building that shit up, too. Tell us, Karen, something that you found in an estate that has just blown you away. Like, you didn't expect to find that, and then it happened.
Yeah, finding those diamonds was fun. Actually, since you brought up Brooke Astor, and we're all close here, and no one's going to tell anybody, I'll tell you guys the story. We were going through Brooke Astor's things, and she's a socialite in New York. You've probably stopped at Astor Place. Her death was highly contentious, and so we were going through a lot of... We had to go through every single piece to make sure it was accounted for, even the hidden ones, and I pulled out, and I was like, oh, this is a cute picture of the White House on the cover. And I open it up, and JFK had written her a handwritten note and was like, Merry Christmas, Mrs. Astor. And I was like, dang, JFK. So that was really cool. Not sellable, the real. But that was pretty amazing.
How about
that.
Who found the Basquiat? Was that you?
Sure, yeah.
That Basquiat, sure.
Yeah, she forgot she bought it. It was
that happens to me all the time when I buy fine art.
Oh, yeah, my husband reminded me yesterday. She, like, pulls it out. I was like, do you want me to take it? She's like, if you think you can sell it. Yes, ma'am, thank you. We had another one on this wall when we first opened from her, too. She remembered she had that one, but her one of her assistants had it above their desk because they liked it. And
I've seen that a lot.
Yeah. They just, you know, that's cool. Last week, I was here in the store. I'm here a little bit too much, I think. And I wasn't here more than 5 minutes, and someone's like, did you see the Himalaya? I said, you let me be in the store for 5 minutes without telling me this? So a Himalaya is a Birkin bag made from albino crocodile, which is in itself pretty rare. So the price point on this bag is $95,000.
I think I have a buyer for you.
Yeah, let's do it. It's online right now. You can have it.
I'm not the buyer.
You buy it in the store, you get free shipping. Save that $11.
So tell those of us who are thinking about consigning, is it worth being strategic about hanging on to things? I mean, I know you said the best time to sell is when you're ready to sell. But are there things that if we hung on to them a little bit longer, we'd be able to maybe make a better sale on?
It all depends on how much effort you want to put into it. Sure. Yes, there is. But let us do the work for you. I mean, like, you know... Right, you have a portfolio person for your stocks, for your 401ks, this and that. You have a real estate broker for different things. Like, unless it turns you on, let someone else deal with it, and let them advise you, and then you ultimately make the decision yourself. But sure, I mean, just like anything else, there are peaks and valleys to all trends, and fashion is cyclical, so things come back, and the fashion circle or cycle is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. So that's actually great for resale, because it means by the time something comes back on trend, it's not a vintage piece yet.
To bring it back to divorce, though, I'll say if you're going through a difficult time and you want to worry about one less thing, consigning can actually be a great aspect to that. And I know that's counterintuitive to like historical consigning because it can be like a pain to come bring it to a store and try to track it and things like that. But if the rule will make it really easy for you, and we were talking about this before, is like you can just be like, I don't want all this stuff, and we'll come in, we'll take it, we can give you estimates of what we can list it for. There's an app where you can just scroll through and you literally get a check mailed to you. So I would say the best time to consign is when you're just ready to let it go and don't want to do anything with it.
Right. I mean, because what I see is, you know, people have a lot of stuff and things get lost, like the Basquiat. And so you might as well go ahead and get rid of it now because you don't know what's going to be your situation in a year. I mean, worst case scenario is, you know, your house undergoes like some crazy thing. But, you know, just the time is now. It's like you're ready now, so now is the right time.
Just to branch off of that, last winter, last holiday season, there was terrible fires up in Napa and Sonoma, and we happened to have our pop-up store in Union Square at the time, and people were coming in and said, I've never consigned before, but I want to get rid of these things now. Heaven for, you know, I live in that area, or I have friends who lost their house, and like I don't need these things. I'm not using them. Heaven forbid they should, you know, get destroyed. I'd rather somebody else love them. And yeah, I mean, if you're not using something, take the cash and go get something you love. But also, I think, you know, when these natural disasters hit, it kind of does tweak your perspective a little bit about what's valuable in your life. And just like anything that kind of really rocks the boat, whether it be a separation or, you know, the birth of a child or, you know, these lifestyle changes, it makes you reevaluate what's really important.
Beth, do you sometimes find yourself being more of a therapist than an organizer when you're in somebody's closet and they want to tell you everything about every piece that they're going through and how what it meant to them and how they feel about getting rid of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not a therapist, but I do a lot of listening. And sometimes it's the person just needs to tell the story of how it came into their lives, what their experience was, and then that somehow just gives them the confidence and it can just be as simple as just hearing it out loud for themselves, and then they're ready to let it go. So in that aspect, absolutely. And then also I am playing peacekeeper sometimes between couples. Maybe oftentimes I separate people because they've tried to make the other person get rid of a collection of things, something that's been bothering
them. The wagon wheel coffee table.
Yes, exactly. So it's good to separate people and have some healthy compromise. So I'm usually working with the person who doesn't want me there, because believe it or not, there is someone that doesn't want me there. It's usually the husband. There aren't any men in here, right? And so it's usually the man, and we're slowly going through things, and eventually they come around. They understand and see the value of it.
Graham, what's hot right now? What is really hot to sell? Besides the Yeezys, what else? Oh. My son is here tonight. He's like, they have Yeezys. And I was like, God, we're not getting a Yeezy.
Well,
we'll go back to
sell your
food.
Yeezys now, because they're about to take a dive. They're doing the largest drop of Yeezys ever. So you'll be able to walk into Foot Locker and buy them within 6 months. So sell them while they're worth something. Or don't, whatever. But that's just my advice. What's hot? Logo is back. Big prints. Bright, colorful statement pieces. I think color and pattern, as I see a lot around the room, makes us feel happy. And in times of maybe political turmoil and depression,
whatever do you mean?
Trend up. I don't know. We see these things trend up. So fun, vibrant pieces. Everyone is loving them now. So maybe you've
Graham. Obviously, we got that memo here.
I'm dressing for the mood.
Whoops.
Someone asked me earlier, have you ever worn all black? And I said, no. Lauren, I'm sure you're the same.
Never.
Never.
Tell us a little bit, this is for these two, how sustainability fits into your whole deal at The Real Real.
Yeah, it's a huge part of what we do. I mean, really in the past year, we've talked to people about this idea of circular economy. It's this idea of like, if you buy well, you sell well, it's consignment at its finest, in the sense that when we go in and we're talking to people about going through their closet, the next time we come and see them for a second appointment, they're like, can you tell me what actually does have high resale value? Because I want to buy that so that when you come back in 6 months, I can get the value what I want from that. And so there's a huge aspect of that. But then there's the aspect of, like, it's really good for the world to be able to consign and reuse these items. Fashion is actually the second biggest polluter after big oil, which shocks people. But in the past 20 years, the creation of fast fashion has grown tremendously. You guys see it. I mean, you see Zara, you see H&M, you see all these ones where just churn out clothes, and all of those end up in the dump, or most of them end up in the dumpster. So what we're really trying to do is help you think about how you are impacting the environment and really buying better so that you can consign it and extend the life of those items.
Beth, I'm sure, like, when you're purging someone's home, it comes down to, what am I going to do with all this now that it's in, like, trash bags or bins? Like, where's it going? And just to take something that's kind of perfectly good and just throw it in the trash in a landfill is wrong. You know, somebody else can use it. Only 1% of clothing is actually, when it's recycled, is recycled as that original garment. And on average, people are wearing garments 7 times before they trash them. So, I mean...
Well, and I love the fact that you guys put all of that online so you can see the, you know, what is actually happening.
The reality.
Yeah, the reality of it all. But I think it's also cool that, you know, when you invest in really nice pieces, you're able to go to the shoe cobbler and get it maintained. So, yes, you can resell things, but it's also lovely to have this relationship with your clothes. And I find that you take better care of your stuff when it's maybe something you invested in. So you actually enjoy shopping, so it looks like you're going into a store when you're going into your closet. So I find that really great. So it's such a good thing that you guys are doing that, because it speaks to sustainability, which is a hot topic, but it really needs to be.
Someone earlier, Anne, is out there with this vintage Gucci bag, which I commented on. It's from the 1970s. And Gucci, yes. Gucci, yeah, right there. Right. She didn't,
hold up the bag,
Anne. Designed this bag to last 50 years. And she told me she went to Pascal's and had a strap made because the strap literally deteriorated. And so it's extending the life cycle of the good. You know, and that's
You're saving
awesome.
The planet, Anne. Yeah. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's really cool is we now have this sustainability calculator. So as you consign things, you'll see how many gallons of water and trees you actually save by being part of the resale. It takes a ton of water. Graham knows the exact numbers.
2,900 gallons, Karen, to make one pair of denim.
Yeah, which is one pair of
cotton
denim.
Consumption.
They better make your ass look good.
Cotton growth. It's about 8% of all of the fresh water. It also accounts for 20% of all insecticides and 8% of all pesticides used in the world just to grow cotton.
It's terrible.
So we think, you know, cotton, the fabric of our lives. I don't know.
But cotton's even better than a lot of these artificial, you know, synthetic brands, which are just plastic, which are terrible as well to put into landfills. So what we do is now when you consign women's fashion, you can actually go on and see the impact that you've made on water use and trees. So I think it's a huge part. We want people to be able to visualize it. We actually use real scientists to do that, not us fashion people. So we use environmental experts and sustainability experts who helped us actually quantify that.
I just want to say that I did this for the first time last week, and Romy came over and I was like, so how does it work and what happens? And it really is, I think, how many of you here have consigned with The RealReal? Raise your hand.
Ooh,
okay, so, and those of you who have not didn't raise your hand. So it is super cool. They will come to you. You can also drop it off. You can put it in the mail. They service many, many, many other states and cities and even internationally, correct?
Consignment we're just doing in the U.S. right
okay.
now.
So you can't, if you leave the country, you have to come back here to give them your stuff. But anyway, and then they take it all. She, like, put it all in her car. Like, we walked down there. We, like, put it all in the car. There was a lot. And then she drove away. And, like, 2 days later, I got this email. And then there's, like, a list of all the stuff. And I was looking at it, and I was like, ooh, that sounds really good. Wait, I already own that. I don't want that. And they give you credits. Like, it's really, really, really cool how they do it. And you don't ever have to kind of worry about just never seeing your stuff again and not being compensated for it.
And then you get a check in the mail.
And then you get a check in the mail. Melanie is like a big, big fan. Before we wrap up, I do want to tell everybody that they should play the Real or Faux game because it's super cool. You try to figure out which is which. And also I wanted to thank Mary Cumble and Johnny Rains for putting this together tonight. They really had a vision, and obviously our three panelists and Allison and all of the folks at The Real Real, you guys have been so welcoming. We're so happy to have you as a brick and mortar here in LA and to be able to use you online. And please visit us at It's Over Easy and The Real Real and listen to the Divorce Sucks podcast and tell your friends and have some champagne and have something to eat and enjoy. Thanks for being here.
Thank you guys so much. Laura.